We're in the second part of Lent. The threshold is Laetare Sunday, which was Sunday. In this second stage of Lent, the daily Gospels are taken, for the most part, from the Gospel of John. Well, yesterday was an exception, of course, because it was the solemnity of St. Joseph, so that has its own special readings. But as I say, for the most part, we'll be reading from the Gospel of John for the rest of Lent and through Easter, too. John's Gospel. John is our guide now, from now on. One thing to notice about John's Gospel in general is that Jesus is in charge of the whole thing. He's entering into the human condition, the Word became flesh, and he's making God present in the world. So, for example, he doesn't get taken by surprise. There's no story of a woman sneaking up behind him and touching his hem, a hem of his garment, in John's Gospel. That's in the other Gospels. Or another classic example I love is in the Passion account, when they come to arrest him, and he says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Well, we're looking for Jesus." And he says, "I am." And all the soldiers fall down. That's only in John's Gospel. John is emphasizing the divinity of Christ and the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, one piece of evidence that this is how it works in John's Gospel is that in many of the miracle stories, it's not the person who asks Jesus for healing. Jesus just comes up and does it himself. He takes the initiative entirely. So you saw that, for example, in the case of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. She comes, I mean, yes, she's presented as a woman with an insatiable thirst. She has her needs, but she doesn't ask Jesus for anything right away. Jesus is the one who says, "Give me a drink." He starts it. Same could be said for last Sunday's Gospel, the healing of the man born blind. The blind man, he didn't say anything. Jesus saw the man and decided to heal him. The first words we hear out of the blind man don't come until after he's already been cured in that Gospel. Well, something similar in today's Gospel. This is the story of Jesus healing the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. We don't know what this man knew, but apparently didn't have any idea who Jesus was. This is still early in his public ministry. And here he is, waiting to be healed for 38 years, waiting for someone to help him. He doesn't really think it's going to happen, but that's what he says. And he doesn't ask Jesus for any help. Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be well?" And the man doesn't even say yes. He says, I can't be well. Nobody's helping me." So Jesus, again, takes the initiative to heal the man. "Rise, take up your mat and walk." "Just do it. I'm giving you the power." Now, why did Jesus choose this man of all the people? It says there were many people there, a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. Perhaps he saw that this man was the worst. He was in the worst condition. He'd been there the longest. He had the least hope. He was the one in greatest need. I think that is probably Jesus' motivation, because he's revealing the heart of God. He's revealing divine love, and God loves everyone, but he loves those who are most in need. He loves the lost one, the lost sheep. Or if you want to use the language of Pope Francis, he goes to the peripheries. He goes farthest, to those who are farthest away from God. This man, he's so far from God. He's so far from hope. He doesn't even ask Jesus for any help at all. He doesn't ask for healing. He doesn't even ask him to help him get into the water. But Jesus heals him. His expression, Jesus, when he says, "Rise, take up your mat and walk," some scholars have said it's a parallel to the the command Jesus gives to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Get up. Take up the burden. Take up the responsibility to do the will of God and follow me. And that's, and the man gets up and picks up his mat and he walks, but he doesn't have any idea what he's doing or why. At least he obeyed, and he was healed. But he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't know who Jesus is. He represents the human condition. The human condition, our condition, in our limitations and long-standing problems. You know, we've had problems for years that haven't gotten any better, and we might not have much hope that things are going to change. That's him. That's us. And then even when God does come and intervene, we miss the point. We don't really know what he's done. We don't even know who he is. But see, Jesus reveals that God doesn't give up on us simply because we're stupid. He keeps pursuing us. He keeps going after the lost sheep, even if the sheep is still wandering away. So after this man has been healed and Jesus slips away, Jesus comes back to him. He finds him again, this lost sheep. And he gives him not a healing, a physical healing this time, but he gives him a word of wisdom. Look, you are well. You are well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you. He's not talking about a worse physical condition. He's talking about a moral condition. Don't sin. Sin leaves us in a condition worse than paralysis. Don't sin anymore. Implying part of his problem sitting there or lying there for 38 years, part of his problem, aside from his physical condition, was he was a sinner. Well, that's why I say he represents us all, we're all sinners. But don't sin anymore. Leave that sin behind. It's crippling you. And if you don't leave it behind, you're going to make things worse for yourself. That's Jesus revealing himself to us. Now, so what Jesus is doing here is pouring out the abundance of divine love on this man. The abundance of divine grace. It's a kind of unstoppable flow, ocean of mercy. The image that we get in today's first reading is that exact thing. You know, water flowing from the temple. A lot of water. A huge amount of water. Life-giving, fresh, abundance of water. It's a great image of divine grace. A great image of what Jesus came to unleash into the world. And in reading in the prophet Ezekiel, we see what the water has great effect on everybody and everything. Makes everything fresh and clean, and it makes all the trees grow. And okay, leaves are good for medicine and everything. So it's a symbol of all good things coming from the heart of God. And this is who Jesus is standing in Bethesda there near the temple. They don't need the water in the sheep pool, the sheep gate. They don't need that water. It's no good anyway. Probably filthy. Bunch of sick people climbing into it all the time. What they need is Jesus, who is this temple, who produces an abundance of life-giving grace. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need that. We need him every day, not just in Lent, but every day, because we're sinners, we're crippled, we're confused. We need him. But even though Jesus is ready to do it all and does everything he can to heal us, we have to do our part. We still have to rise and pick up our mat and walk. We still have to pick up our cross and follow him. Because if we don't do that, then that abundance of grace, that river, that life-giving river, doesn't do us any good. And it's not God's fault. So this is why Lent keeps pushing us. Get up, repent, leave sin behind, make a change, trust in God. Don't be afraid, don't lose hope. Get up, take up your cross, accept the fullness of God's will for you and follow him in trust, follow him in faith, follow him in joy, the joy of salvation.